May all beings be happy, may all beings be healthy, may all beings be free from harm, may all beings love life, may all beings awaken. Welcome to another Guke Audio Podcast. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable, free from economic hardship, and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. So today, we're going to read a little bit more from the Haiku Zendo Chronicles. We're going to finish part one. It'll probably still fall within the mini podcast realm. So this is the seventh in the Haiku Zendo Chronicles series. And it's on Kobun Chino Sensei. By November 1966, Marion felt we were a strong enough group to support a resident priest. At Suzuki Roshi's suggestion, she wrote to Japan to Kobun Chino Sensei, a young priest who was then at Eiheiji. Kobun Chino Sensei accepted the invitation to come to America. Kobun Chino Sensei arrived by steamship in San Francisco on June 19, 1967. He brought with him gifts from Eiheiji for the new Zen Practice Center at Tassajara near Carmel, a large drum and a bell. After a few days in San Francisco, Chino Sensei came with Suzuki Roshi to see us for the first time in Los Altos. Roshi introduced him to us after Thursday morning zazen, and then we went into the house for breakfast. It was a gala occasion. Marion served a beautiful meal of American and Japanese dishes, including fish cakes and mochi. It had been decided that Chino Sensei would spend the summer at Tassajara with Suzuki Roshi and return to us in Los Altos in the fall. As the months passed, it became obvious that Chino Sensei was greatly needed at Tassajara, and so he stayed there for 2 years, making a few short visits to us when he could. We were glad to know of his great contribution to the beginnings of Tassajara, but we were disappointed for ourselves. During this time, Katagiri Sensei and Yoshimura Sensei were the teachers who came regularly every week. Suzuki Roshi came when he could. All in all, of course, we were very lucky and we knew that. Kobun Chino Sensei returned to Japan after 2 years at Tassajara. Meanwhile, Marion Derby left Los Altos and Les and Mary Kay moved into her house to take care of the Zendo. In the fall of 1969, after some months of discussion, Haiku Zendo wrote to Kobun Chino Sensei to ask him if he would come to Los Altos to be our teacher. At Les K's suggestion, we all wrote letters to Chino Sensei's master in Japan, explaining our situation here and our hope that Chino Sensei could come join us. Finally, in February 1970, Chino Sensei arrived again in Los Altos. At his request, no formal installation ceremony was held. However, this time he stayed. He and Harriet Buffington were married the following summer. Their son, Taido, was born in the fall of 1971, and their daughter, Yoshiko, was born in the spring of 1973. Chino Sensei's presence has made it possible for us to enjoy a full schedule of morning and evening zazen every weekday, as well as two weekly study groups, bi-monthly sessions, and two ango practice periods. Wednesday evening lectures continue, and so do the discussions following Thursday morning breakfasts. In addition to his activities in Los Altos, Chino Sensei goes to Santa Cruz one evening a week to teach at the Zendo there. To say we are grateful to Gobun Chino Sensei and his family is an understatement. He has become our good and learned friend. And next in the book comes Change of Lay Directors. By 1968, Marion Derby had wished for some time to leave Los Altos and go to Tassajara. She was very careful of her responsibilities here and spent a great deal of thought on how she could manage to find someone to take over these responsibilities. One Saturday morning after Zazen, her eyes fell on Les K., and she knew immediately that he and his wife, Mary, would be the very best people she could find for Haiku Zendo. Turning to Marion's annual report, 1969, we find, on June 20th, 1968, I asked Lester K., a member who had been sitting regularly with our group for about a year, if he would be interested in moving into Haiku-an with his family to take over the Zendo and two of my children. On July 5th, Les and Mary accepted. They began looking for tenants to rent their home in San Jose and began to reorganize the house and my personal life for the change. And I began to reorganize the house and my personal life for the change. It was my original plan to go to Tassajara for about a year of training in October. Les and Mary Kay and their two young children, Margie and David, moved into Haiku-an in September. I stayed on a month while they accustomed themselves to the new job and environment. They adapted quickly, not only to the job of managing the Zen group, but of acting as foster parents to my two youngest teenage girls, Kathy and Anne. When Marion left us, the changeover was so smoothly done, many students were only vaguely aware of the magnitude of the K's effort. We were sorry to see Marion go away. At the same time, we were delighted to have the K's with us. To carry us through the interim, Marion asked a few of us to make up a kind of ad hoc group of trustees. These people were Les K., Doug Duke, June French, Roy Henning, and Barbara Heistent. The name Haiku Zendo Foundation was adopted at this time, mostly so we could open a bank account. A few months later, we formed a regular organization. Mark and Carolyn Fruin and Jerry Halpern were of enormous help to us in drawing up the bylaws. Their suggestions were clear, simple, and to the point, and accepted with gratitude. These bylaws have served us well to this day. Les K. was the first president and treasurer of Haiku Zendo Foundation. Mary K. was our first secretary. At the beginning, Marion Derby had seen this Zendo as a branch of the San Francisco Zen Center. Marion visited Zen Center more often than the rest of us. Many times she returned from San Francisco with requests for our help in Zen Center projects. What help we could give, we gave gladly. Marion sent our weekly contributions to Zen Center, and many of us became members of Zen Center to help pay Roshi's expenses. In spite of all this close cooperation with Zen Center, the feeling slowly grew over the years that we belonged to ourselves. When Marion left us to go to Tassajara and the Kays came to live at the Zendo, this feeling found immediate expression in the formation of an independent organization. With the K's leadership, more members began actively participating in the care of the Zendo. Suzuki Roshi made no attempt ever to tell us how to solve our organizational problems. He seemed more interested to see what we would do for ourselves. So that's the end of part one, Haiku Zendo Chronicles, part one. And next time we will get into Haiku Zendo Chronicles, part two. This has been a Kyuk Audio podcast. I'm DC Puba of Kyuk Audio and Kyuk Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Dog and Bandita, Feline Kuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.